Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all of those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. And what we're doing these days is we're going through the scripture, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. Last time we left off in the Gospel of Matthew, about chapter 22 and verse 14, where our Messiah, he was finishing up with this statement, "For many are called, but few are chosen." And of course it was the parable of the wedding feast, how those that were invited didn't show up, they had better things to do. So the master sent out some servants into the highways and the byways to bid whoever would come to the wedding to come. And so people came as they were bidden. But there was one guy. He showed up without a wedding garment on. And when he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment, and he said unto him, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And well, the man was speechless, is called out. Then said the king to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." And certainly, we don't want to be among those that are not chosen. The man, he was called, but you know what? He didn't clean up. That's right. He didn't want to clean up. Because it's not by our own effort that we become good. It's not by our own effort that we have righteousness imputed into our life. If we don't allow it, if we don't allow His Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and to we don't allow His law to be written in our minds and our hearts so that we might do only the things which please Him, well, then we're not in the kingdom. We will be cast out. There's no once saved, always saved doctrine. I wouldn't count on that. I mean, there is that doctrine, but it's not the truth. You won't find it in the scripture. You find the contrary. You find like this, a man who made it in but wasn't worthy, so he was kicked out. You also find the parable of the sower, how some people got excited, some people endured for a little while, but then, you know, they loved other things, or they got involved in other things, or they just didn't carry through. The enemy came and snatched the word out of their heart, and that was it. They were out of the kingdom. Chapter 22 and verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Now these Pharisees, these scribes and Pharisees, the hypocrites, they hate this Messiah. They want to believe he's just another in a long line of fakers. Because they're getting a lot of fakers these days, because you know Daniel's 70 weeks are almost over. And just like today, in the time that I live in, you know, there's messiahs and guys who pop up and say that they are the Christ and all this stuff. And people, yeah, the amazing thing is that people actually believe them. That's what I find amazing. Yes, people actually believe them. So the same thing's going on then. And it was, you know, far more immediate at that time because they had a prophecy that foretold 70 weeks from the scripture were determined for Israel, and the 70 weeks is almost up, and they were looking for the Messiah to come in the 70th week and confirm the covenant with many for that week. Of course, he was going to be cut off in the middle of the week, not for himself, but for the people. So you could imagine, you know, the fakers that rose up, but here's this, he's the real genuine article, because none of the fakers were out there healing the sick, doing bona fide miracles, absolutely, you know, unquestionable miracles. So the Pharisees, they took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Yahshua, he perceived their wickedness. Why tempt ye me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought him a penny. And remember, a penny is a day's wage. Not to mistake it for the fake money that they have today. Their real money was silver. Although I'm sure that by this time the Romans were, watering down the silver, so to speak, and watering down the money to make it go further. But they knew the value of real money, gold and silver. So he says, show me the tribute money. And they brought to him a penny. And he saith unto him, them, whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And then he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar's the things which are Caesar's. And you know what? That means you should pay your taxes. I've heard that in the corporate church. You know, they preach half of the verse. That's right. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. You hear it over and over and over, as if Yahshua the Messiah spoke half of the sentence. He didn't speak the other half. Because if you speak the other half, well, it changes everything, doesn't it? Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. Well, it changes everything. What belongs to Caesar? What belongs to God? Who do you belong to? Do you belong to God or do you belong to Caesar? Well, you know, the scripture says that the earth is Yahuwah's and the fullness thereof and everyone that dwelleth therein. So he owns our creator. Well, he created it. Well, that means he owns it, doesn't it? He owns it all. It all belongs to him. So now, if you hold that view, he gave you liberty. You know, all men are endowed with unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if it makes you happy to serve idols, well, in America, that's unfortunate. They've taken that lamb-like principle and they've used it for evil. Liberty. The liberty to sin. The liberty to serve idols. And who do you identify with? That's the question. You know, because if you belong to Caesar, of course Caesar representing the state, and everything you have belongs to Caesar because you belong to Caesar, then you should render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, or whatever Caesar asks of you, because you belong to him. So whatever Caesar tells you to give to him, that's what you owe to Caesar. That's what belongs to Caesar. Now, however, if you don't belong to Caesar, if you belong to Christ, if you live and breathe and have your being in Christ Yeshua, if you've given your life to him, because that's the whole idea of the regeneration, that's what salvation is all about, you change your identity. You're no longer of the world, you're in it, but you're not of it. So are you in the world and of it, or are you in the world and not of it? Well, pull out your ID card and let's see who you belong to. That's right. You got an ID card. You got an ID number. Who numbers you among theirs? And if you have their identifying number saying that you belong to them, because that's the way they view it, whether you view it that way or not, you can be in denial all you want. You know, it's like the hooker. You know, she's just a hooker on the weekends, right? But the rest of the week she's not. You can be in denial all you want, but the reality is a reality. And I'll tell you what, the Johns on the weekend, they know she's a hooker. That's right. Just like your owner, the state, they know you belong to them and they treat you thusly. Although you are free. If we live in a free country, there's no such thing as involuntary servitude, so you don't have to engage in involuntary servitude. You are free to not do that. But you need to, if you're in that relationship where you're in a relationship of involuntary servitude, do you have to fill out tax forms involuntarily? Do you have to do things that you don't want to do involuntarily? Well, then you are an involuntary servant. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, maybe it isn't involuntary. Maybe you volunteered at some point, or maybe someone volunteered you. And then when you came of age, you never objected. You never even thought about objecting because you were taught this is what you have to do. So you continued to volunteer. Well, that's what we're talking about here. I mean, let's rightly divide the word of our Heavenly Father here and render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. See, now, this man who was tempting him, he had a Roman coin and it had Caesar's face on it, much like the coins today have the dead presidents of the United States on them. Where I live and other places, they have other dead people. So that's just an image on the coin, isn't it? And if you think, well, this is Caesar's money, I should therefore render it unto Caesar's. But if he owns the earth and everything in it, well, doesn't the silver or the gold belong to him? But now if you're playing in a fictitious false weight and balance monetary system of credit, which presently is in great crisis, yes, there's not enough of that fictitious stuff out there. I mean, how can you not have enough of a fiction? There's no reality behind it anyway. I mean, how could there be a lack of it? How could you have a lack of nothing? It's like we're going to run out of nothing. Well, we don't have enough nothing today. You know, the world is having a credit crisis. It's rather hilarious to me. But the people that worship in this idolatrous system are having a tough time. And that part's not funny, is that people are so tangled up into this unreality, this fiction that it affects them. So, but that's what their credit crisis is about. They're kind of having a shortage of nothing. And, they can't loan out the nothing because they don't have enough of it. Yes, if you could see things the way I see them. Okay. So, if I have a coin in my hand and you have the same coin in your hand and it has an inscription on it, what do you see? Do you see Caesar's coin? But I see substance made out of the earth which belongs to my Creator. So I will render to him that which is his. And you render to your God that which is your God's. And that's really what it boils down to. Who do you worship? What do you worship? Who do you belong to? So you render to your master that which is your master's. Render unto Caesar. Say there's one kingdom there. Yahshua, our Messiah, he preached the kingdom of God. He said this is gospel of the kingdom must be preached in the whole earth. Then will the end come. He went about preaching, saying, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. So he's preaching a kingdom. But this coin represents, the image on the coin represents another kingdom, an opposing kingdom, an opposite kingdom, a kingdom that will fade away. He represents a kingdom that will last forever. He owns the gold. He made it. That's right. He made the gold. He made the silver. This other kingdom, they just stamped their image on it. They created an image. Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So, well, you know, I would never tell anyone not to pay to Caesar what Caesar requires of them. You know, whoever the Caesar is representing the governments of men. You pay what you owe. You have an agreement. If you've been paying it for years and years, and you've accepted the agreement as a custom, someone volunteered you when you were a child, and you never objected when you became of age, or maybe perhaps you went down and volunteered yourself. Well, pay it. Pay what you owe to your master. It is a free country, and you can volunteer to do, well, that if you want to. Now, unvolunteering, that's the trick. Because you would have to, well, enter the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Heavenly Father, I'm so sorry that I worshipped images. I'm so sorry that I gave my allegiance to another kingdom. Forgive me. I will not do it again. And I will tear down every vestige of my worship or obedience to that image for the rest of my life, as long as I live. That's what I desire to do. I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, and His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, one holy nation under our Heavenly Father, with grace, mercy, and justice for all. Grace, yes, we get grace to enter His kingdom, to go before the throne, to plead our case, to repent of our sins. Grace, we get to live and walk in His kingdom. Mercy, oh, mercy. He forgave our sins. He has mercy on us. Justice. If you don't take advantage of the grace and the mercy, you're going to get justice. That's right. And the other side to that justice is that He bore our punishment. Justice is satisfied through Him and by Him. He bore our punishment on Himself. He took our place. Our debt has been paid. Justice has been satisfied. So He says, render therefore to Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left Him and went their way. Oh, they marveled. That's right. They couldn't trick Him, because they reasoned with themselves. Well, if He says, it's lawful to pay tribute, then the people will turn against Him, because the people hate paying taxes to Caesar. Because, of course, Caesar is forcing it on them. You don't pay your taxes, you're punished severely, maybe killed or crucified. The people didn't like that. I mean, you had an occupying army here. They were using force. But if He says, it's not lawful, well, then they could bring the Roman army against them. See, they're trying to trick Him. But he had an answer, and they marveled at His answer. Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God, or unto Yahuwah, the things which are His. So they marveled. The same day came to Him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked Him that. These guys are really clever. there are Sadducees out there today. The modern day Sadducees, I call them hyper-preterists. Well, that's my name for the hyper-preterists. They're modern day Sadducees because they don't believe in the resurrection. See, they believe the resurrection happened in 70 AD. So I don't know how that works for me. If the resurrection happened in the past, all you hyper-preterists, what happens to me? Don't I get to get resurrected, or do I somehow go back to 70 AD to experience the resurrection, the regeneration that our Messiah talked about? You modern day Sadducees, you are sad. There's no doubt about it. Yes, they don't believe that's, everyone's heard it. That's why they're sad, because they don't believe in the resurrection. Yes, how sad. Anyway, so the Sadducees, which say there's no resurrection, and they ask Him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife. And this is the law of Moses. This is part of the commandments. Perhaps this is a least commandment. Oh, this is a commandment which the church, which practices the idolatry of romance, would find so repulsive. Even people who walk with Christ, they find this repulsive, this commandment that our Heavenly Father. But listen to what they say. Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, they're talking about the law. The law says, the law of God for the nation Israel, that government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's where that phrase came from. It was an exclamation by one of the Bible translators when he read about the government that our Heavenly Father set up for the nation Israel. That was his exclamation. A government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Lincoln borrowed that phrase. He didn't originate it. A lot of people think Lincoln originated, but they don't teach you that in public school. They just teach you to worship Lincoln, the man who destroyed the Federation of Free States, and he created a changed the form of government to a fascist conglomeration, a nationalist government by force. That's right. He went from free to force. That's what the United States went from free to force. And it still sticks in my mind, that phrase from the movie that Nicolas Cage stars in. I think it's the movie is National Treasure 2 or one of those, where he says, before the Civil War, they said the United States are. After the Civil War, they said the United States is. That's a mouthful. Anyway, we're going into a break. Don't go anywhere, where we're going to continue this on the other side. Be back in a few minutes.